obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
So somebody that I actually had a chance to meet in Sacramento last November, we broke bread together and we sat at the same table together. All the way from San Anselmo, that's up in Marin County, Robin L., our Al-Anon speaker. She said she's a little nervous, so if we could cue the Sacramento CD and she's just going to mime it.
I wish, God. Oh my gosh, what a great group. Thank you so much for having me. I really, really feel honored to be invited, and I love living sober. I remember coming here in about 1984, sitting on the lawn out in front of the Bill Graham Auditorium. Back in the days when, wow, it seemed like the whole world was here. And it seemed like it was a revolution for us as gays and lesbians, being on the forefront of that recovery thing, you know, and it seemed like the right place to be, and it still is. I wanted to just start out by, I feel like I'm a double winner, I just want to qualify, but I started in Al-Anon and I continue with the Al-Anon program as very important part of my life, and I know I belong here. I was raised in an alcoholic home. My father was an alcoholic, very active, and I don't know, when I read these list of questions, just to kind of familiarize you with Al-Anon a little bit more, and these are the ones that really resonated with me. Just trying to get comfortable with standing up here, so I'm going to read this now. Okay, not a big deal. So, do you constantly seek approval and affirmation? Do you fail to recognize your accomplishments? Do you fear criticism? Do you overextend yourself? Do you feel overly responsible for others? Do you respond with fear to authority figures and angry people? Do you have trouble with intimate relationships? Do you cling to relationships because you're afraid of being alone? Do you often mistrust your own feelings and the feelings expressed by others? And do you find it difficult to identify and express your emotions? Well, anyway, these are probably true for a lot of us. And you guys are having trouble hearing me? Louder! Not a problem! Oh, my God. All right. All right, so. All right, so the last 3 years, I've been through a tremendous amount of change and loss and different life than what I expected would happen. And it's, what's been amazing is being in this program has allowed me to use that as a catalyst to change and grow, rather than just fold up and get in the fetal position. So I'm very, very grateful. And let's see. So I was just talking about growing up in a home of an alcoholic father and a very shrill codependent mother, and very withholding. And I got most of my attention from my dad, who was often drunk. And I loved him, and it really shaped me in a lot of ways as far as being an artist and even the public speaking thing. So I have a lot. I owe a lot to him. He was never able to get sober, actually, and he died 6 months ago. And it's been really a trip. You know, I had a friend here who helped me learn how to deal with that. Her name was Lindley, and she was here at my first living sober, and she led me here, and she led me a lot of places to learn things. And when she passed away about 3 years ago, two years ago, I got to be there in the inner circle of people that were helping her go through the process of dying. And that, again, she taught me such a beautiful lesson about how to be present and how to do that, even though at the time it was overwhelming and I didn't probably handle it all that well. When it came time to deal with my father dying recently, I was able to really show up and be present and be there for my mom. And, you know, things like not forcing my agenda, but just offering up solutions and being able to tell him, like, with my whole heart and soul, how much I loved him and all the gifts that he gave me, and make sure that those things got said before he died. You know, I didn't have to be too afraid to do that. And those are things I learned here. So I wanted to just back up a little bit. So when I was a little girl, I really wanted to be a boy when I was a kid. And I used to flex in front of the mirror and, you know, I was just so disappointed when puberty hit, you know. And it just ended up being okay, but my parents were always having these wild parties, and they were kind of like the Breakfast at Tiffany's kind of parties, where the women were in little cocktail dresses and the men were in little black suits with skinny ties, and they were just drinking and ignoring the kids. And, you know, I had an older brother and sister. I was just trying to be quiet during these parties, and my brother was and is very emotionally checked out. But my sister was and is bipolar and really took up a lot of the emotional space in the family. And so all this stuff was going on. And what was really happening was that my parents were just sort of tapped out with having kids. And I was the youngest, and I was very self-sufficient. So they just let me run wild, pretty much. And I could do anything I wanted. And I just would sneak out at night and roam the streets, and I never wore shoes, and I, you know, would ride around on my Stingray without my shirt on until it was just not okay anymore. But, you know, at my home, the only emotions that seemed to be okay were to be funny or angry. And you couldn't be hurt or sad, and so I didn't really learn anything about that. I just learned about taking care of myself. I don't need anybody for anything. Then I'll be okay. And I think I was okay, kind of. And then things started to get rough at home. My dad's drinking escalated, and, you know, he lost his job. We had to move. I don't know. My mom took me as her confidant against him to go look for his bottles, and it was just, it was ugly. And I don't know. I didn't know what to do with myself, and I didn't have any guidance, or so I was very self-reliant. So, you know, one thing that sticks out to me is something that helped me later was that I went to Christian Science Sunday School, and, you know, I remember I'd feel good after going to this thing. I felt a little kernel inside of, wow, you know, I feel okay. And I remembered that, you know, even long after I stopped going. And then later as a teenager, I was invited by my uncle, who's a minister, and he's like the child molesting, porn loving kind of minister. Anyway, he invited me to go on a scholarship to the Jesus camps, like two summers in a row. And I thought, oh God, you know, this is great, you know, that they have mini bikes and horseback riding and all kinds of Jesus-loving girls who like to snuggle, and it was just, it was a lot of fun. But I would come home from these camps, and I would tell all my friends, I'm not going to have sex, I'm not going to do drugs or be crazy ever again, you know, and then that would last about a week. But what stuck with me was that I kind of got, and I'm not a Christian today, but I did get this feeling there about this spiritual presence, and that stuck with me a little. And that was something that I was able to draw on later when I finally got in this program. So that was a good thing to have. I used to just wonder so much about how God could be everywhere. Like, you know, is he up your ass, in your nose? It just used to really stump me. I didn't like organized religion because of my uncle. I was just... But, you know, I gave it a lot of thought. Anyway, so, you know, I became very controlling, trying to manage everything in my family and my friends, and I was a joker, and, you know, if you are depressed or mentally ill or a problem drinker, you know, I just want to fix you and I want to cheer you up. And so I got really good at that. And so... Along in my young adulthood, I met a woman who would become my partner for the next 27 years. And right around that time, my sister got together with a man who was quite a bad alcoholic. And I got really, that was when something happened and like a switch got flipped for me. And I became obsessed with her life and how she was going to repeat the pattern of our family. And I was just... beside myself. So I went to this friend, Lindley, and I told her about it, and she said, you know, you might want to go to therapy. So I did that, and then I went, you know, thank God I was able to show up stoned and late to those meetings, because I couldn't have done it any other way. During those early therapies, she would say, you know, well, I would say, I feel so guilty all the time. I feel like I'm just bad and I've done something wrong. And she said, I want you to write down how many times a day you feel guilty. And I wrote down like 100 times. And I felt responsible for everything. And I was just having like a major Al-Anon blowout. And she said, you know, you can go to Al-Anon. It's there. And so I went. And there was, of course, in those days, all the cute girls were in there and they kept me coming back. And I just... I loved it, you know, and I'd come home and I'd cry and my partner and I would talk program and we had, you know, it was a good life. We had good friends. It was just so exciting to be part of this group. Like I said, just doing this great thing and we were putting bars out of business like you wouldn't believe. Calistoga, I remember the bar people would just cry like, why don't you people ever buy any booze? Yeah. Oh my God. Well, anyway... So I worked hard on breaking patterns. One of the biggest ones I had to break was about being judgmental of others and harshest on myself. And, you know, these are the things I learned, and I slip all the time, you know. But my family of origin was all about judgment and all about criticism and just really pointing out the differences instead of the similarities. And... So I've just learned so much about how to turn that around because, of course, it always just hurts me the most, you know. So I got into the program and I worked the steps and I did a four-step. It was really hard, you know. And then I had this like spiritual experience where I don't know. I was somehow transformed to this time when I was a little child at the beach with my parents and. I remember this so clearly. It was like I was there, you know, and I just looked at them, and they were sitting there on the beach with their friends drinking their Bergy beer and with their Newport cigarettes, and I just saw them as just regular people that you know, they didn't do a very good job. They really weren't there for me, but they tried their hardest, and they loved me, you know, and at that moment, I just had this feeling like I could let it go, and I could forgive them, and I could just be okay with the way that it was, you know, because it's not going to change, and there's no point in it, and so, I mean, that was such a relief to me. I was able to just, like, not carry that around anymore, that huge 10-ton baggage of just being so angry with them. I can't tell you how great that's been. And it's been so helpful, too, because my dad recently passed away, and I was able to show up and not have old stuff still hanging around. my partner and I had children, you know, I started thinking.
To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
I don't really need to go to meetings that much anymore, and I'm just so together, you know. I got a really good career. I got a beautiful house, a beautiful wife, two great kids. I'm making money, and I stopped going to meetings for quite some time. And what happened was, is by the time I really woke up to that, I think it was like 8 years. I just was like, I had really gotten myself into some crappy places and some bad behavior, and I realized that what I had done was just taken back my will, like hook, line, and sinker, and forgotten about everything I'd learned. And it was like when the time came and I had lost my job and I moved to a new town where I didn't know anybody, I thought, oh, well, I can go back to meetings. And then I thought, oh my God, I don't know anything about this program anymore, and I don't know anyone. And but luckily I had that thread to grab onto. And I jumped back in. I met these wonderful group of friends that are still my friends today, and was able to work my steps again and get back in, you know. Thank God. Because I didn't realize the axe was going to drop, and it was going to be, well, first my friend Lindley passed away, then my partner left, then I lost my job. I don't know, it seemed like a series of things, and it just knocked me to my knees. And I had never been alone since I was 24 years old, and here I was like 52. And I just, I had my program though, and I was able to keep my shit together. I was able to kind of go through the feelings as they came up. And I didn't, you know, have a rebound affair, and I didn't run around like a crazy person. And I just wouldn't have known what to do if I didn't have you guys to talk to and to be with, because that was pretty monumental for me. And I'm still, after 3 years, just a big dork about trying to learn how to date or just be on my own financially or so many things. So I'm just amazed. Everywhere I go, I just got back from a trip to Hawaii to spread my dad's ashes. There were these beautiful meetings there. I could go meet friends immediately, talk about what's really going on for me. And, you know, they were like offering right away, oh, we'll come with you to help spread ashes if you'd like. And I mean, where else what other planet can you just go find wonderful people that are on the same page with you? So this thing about raising kids has been really intense. I mean, because I wanted to do it differently than how I was raised, and I wanted to pay attention to them because I felt like that was kind of my deal, was kind of the neglect thing. So it's been really interesting, like kind of checking in and seeing what's going on with them, and you know, trying to not overmanage. Like, I don't know, how do you deal with it when your kid wants to go out on a cold night without a jacket, you know? And I'm just like, it's really going to be cold out there, and I'm worried, you know. It's ridiculous. But that's the kind of stuff that being an ACA like me is just like, I want you to wear this coat. And, you know, things I've learned about, you know, if he doesn't wear the coat, he's probably going to get cold, and then next time he might bring it. It's kind of rudimentary, but these things don't come easy. And, you know, I've learned about giving back, and I've learned about how esteemable acts give me self-esteem. And these are also values I didn't learn in my house at all, being honest. You know, my parents were always of the attitude that if you can get away with it, then go for it, you know. I ended up owing a friend that I had worked with money for years, and she didn't care if I ever paid her back. We had a business together and it folded, and my parents were like, oh, you don't have to pay her back. She is not asking. And I just was like, I just kept having nightmares about it. And so, you know, Finally, I went to Detroit one time and found her and offered her like partial payment because that's all I had. But, you know, the slate was clean and I could finally just breathe easy about that. And, you know, those just aren't things that I learned anywhere but here. And I don't have to carry around any crap. And I can stay current. My kids, I act like an ass. I can apologize to them. That was something that never, ever happened in my house, you know. And just to be a human being and say, gosh, I'm sorry. What a revelation. Okay, I'm going to do something kind of dumb. But when I was working on my steps more recently, I got to this men's letter on step 9, and I wrote this letter to myself. Because in Al-Anon, when we do our, well, probably in AA too, I guess, when we do the 9th step, that a lot of times you have to put yourself on the 8th list just because of all the damage and the wreckage of abandoning yourself. And so I wrote this letter to myself. Dear Robin, I'm not going away. I'm sorry I abandoned you when you were young. I'm here now. I will be an adult and take care of your needs. I will allow my higher power to guide my thoughts and actions. I will show up and do the footwork. I will show compassion to myself and others. I know how much you were hurt and felt abandoned, and you can feel those feelings now. I will always stay with you. You will be okay. You will be better than okay. I will treat you like I would treat someone I love. I will look for the beauty and love in myself and others. So, you know, this kind of self-talk is so important to me because I have voices in my head that are really, really mean, and I don't know whose they are. They're my mom's. They're just the world, you know. And I kind of feel like they aren't going away either. I'm kind of stuck with it. I'm wired in these ways from my childhood or whatever. And I feel like I need to accept that that's how I am and try to go at things differently rather than try to just ignore it or act like it isn't true. For me, it's about accepting the reality of what's going on and just surrendering around that. So this thing about really being controlling and bossy and pushy, it's like my nemesis, right? And so I feel like sometimes I just need to use those evil powers for good, and I get my way when I need to. But other times, you know, when something comes up and it's not appropriate, I can just look at it and go, you know, this is a situation where I would just be all over this, but I don't have to do that today. I just don't have to. I can notice that would be what I would do and not do it. That's part about accepting how it is and just not engaging in that stuff, you know? And it ends up kind of becoming a habit to not be that person. I'm just going to talk a little bit about things I've learned here. One of the things is about remembering that others have their own higher power, and this is a really big one in Al-Anon. If I can get this concept that I have something out there bigger than me that has a better idea, that if I try to scheme and plan, that my idea is going to be more limiting than what could happen. Because who knows? Like, what do I know? But if I can apply that same thing to others, like my son with the jacket, or my dad who's passing away, you know, how is it right when people are suffering? You know, how do you possibly deal with that? You know, and it's just about knowing that they have their own path, and that there's nothing that you can do about it, and that's a big relief to me. I mean, having authenticity and humility to kind of pass on to my kids is, again, something I didn't learn at all in my family. And just showing them how to behave in the world, like this idea of giving back. Like, I've started volunteering at the local LGBT center in Marin, and I go into the high schools and I talk about being a lesbian, and I just bring it in the classroom and try to normalize it and just break down stereotypes. And it's been so rewarding. I went into my son's classroom, they asked me, and I said to him, well, he's 16 now, I think this was last year, I said, honey, is it okay if they've asked me to come in your classroom? And he says, yeah, that would be great. They really need to hear you, you know. It was so touching, yeah. So, you know, this giving back and this being out and all these kinds of values are all stuff I learned here. I just feel like it's, you know, I was always taught, don't just look out for yourself, you know. You don't need to take care of anybody like that, you know. And it's really not true, because what I get is the fulfillment on my own self of who I am and how I want to change the world in a good way. So those values, if you aspire to things that make sense, then you just get to feel better. I mean, it's such an obvious equation. But I never thought of it until I came here. Well, there's things I've learned here too about being kind, like how I can learn from anyone. That's a really big one, no matter what you look like, no matter how many teeth you have. There's something that you might have that I don't know about. So that's, again, something I didn't learn anywhere but here. And, you know, when there's an opportunity to walk through fear and say yes to something, that is a big one. Not yes in the you know, like, oh, sure, whatever you say, yes. But the yes that is about walking through fear, being, putting yourself out there and trying new things and just growing. I mean, I swear to God, I would have just stayed so small. And leaving this relationship has been, like I say, very challenging, but the best part about it was to really, well, to find out about what's my part in that. You know, she left me, it wasn't my idea. You know, I could be really angry and carry that around, and I have, but, you know, over time, it's like, how can I own the part of that that is my responsibility? And the freedom in that is so big. Because, again, you know, obviously, the things that I did led up to that, too. I don't know what else to really say. I'm so glad to be here, and I just feel like, you know, being present has always been a very hard thing for me. So I'm standing right here in front of you guys, and I just really thank you for having me.
Recording. To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.